Great. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Romans 28. I thank God for the privilege of being here. Thank God for His written word. Our text is going to be Romans 28 through 30. But there's some scriptures that I would like to read before we start our message. And at the top of my Bible, I don't know if it says it in yours or not, but it says the ground and assurance of the Christian hope. Now, when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, He is our Lord and our Savior. And as His child, I need Him every day of my life. In the world that we live in the things that we face, in the things that we go through, I need to know that He's there. And you know what? He's there. Because His Bible says, His Word says that He's there. You know, in this world that we live in, there are so many gods in this world that if it wasn't for man helping him out, nobody would be saved. But we serve a sovereign God, not only in salvation, but also in providence and creation. And I like to always speak. I had a blood brother tell me one time that he thought this was just an ordinary book. But the Bible plainly says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is God-breathed. In Isaiah, it says, God's word says, before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. You know, the Lord's people loves the Scriptures, especially one that comes to my mind that I love, and I repeat it a lot, because it means a lot to me, and that's Acts 4:12. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. And that's our Lord, and that's our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I thank Him for that. When I look at myself, I thank the Lord that salvation is of the Lord, and that I don't have anything to do with it. I was in religion for a long time, and that's a terrible place to be. But since I've been coming to Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church and I've been told the truth, I have peace. Jesus said, I give you my peace, not as the world gives it to you. He said, I give you my peace. Be not afraid and be not worried. But salvation is completely of the Lord, and I have nothing to do with it. It's of the Lord in its origination. It's of the Lord in its execution. It's of the Lord in its application, and it's of the Lord in its ultimate protection and in its sustaining power. And we have nothing to do with it. Our God is absolutely sovereign in creation. And in many places in the Bible, it tells us this. And if you will, for a minute, take a look. It's a very familiar scripture, Colossians 1. Colossians 1:16-17. We're talking about our Lord Jesus Christ here. It says, for by Him were all things created. And it's talking about that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. That's talking about everything, wherever they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were made by Him and for Him. Now listen to this part. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And I thank God for that. The Bible says over in the book of John, the Lord Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. And the reason that I'm wanting to bring this out is there are so many people in this world that does not know who the Lord Jesus Christ is. They know about Him, but they don't know who He is. Then our Lord is absolutely sovereign in providence. That's something that, you know, what is providence? That means that God is aware of what is happening in our, in any given person's life. But in the fit, and that's whether it's in the physical world or the spiritual world. In other words, nothing happens without His directive or His permissive will. And that's something that's really helped me in my Christian life, especially as I grow older. And I know that whatever happens to me, it's God's sovereign will. It's for His glory, and it's for my good. I don't have to understand it. I just believe it. I thank God for that. But He is absolutely sovereign in providence. And then it says that He doeth, one verse that I love, it says that He doeth according to His will an army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? Our Lord is all-knowing, He's all-powerful, and He's all-present. The Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's something that I like to do. I like to meditate upon the Word of God at times when I'm at home by myself. And certain verses that I like to meditate upon and think about. And it brings us such peace of mind. That verse I was getting ready to repeat a while ago, though, He said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. There's no peace in this world. You know, we go through, there's times that we have good times in this world, but we get over a problem before you know it, we have another one. And then we have to go through trials and heartache and sufferings. And I know that's all a part of it, and it draws us closer to Him. But there's a reason for that. And He is so perfect. And I love what it says in Revelation. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive what? Glory, honor, and power. Now, why is that? We've got to remember, it's not about us. He says, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are, and they were created. Now, thank God for that. The Spirit of God lives in the heart of His elect. And the Word states, and I love what it states in Joshua, it says, for the Lord thy God is with thee wherever you go. I know that wherever I'm at, He's right there with me. I can be in the car, I can be mowing the yard, I can be working in the garden, I can be in the house, no matter where I'm at, He's right there with me. You know, sometimes I have the privilege of being at the house quite a bit by myself, and I'll be in the house and you think there'd be somebody in there with me. Well, there is. He's right there with me. Me and Him, we have a lot of good conversations at times. I thank Him for that. But the Bible says in John 6, and this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but shall raise it up again the last day. You know, the Lord says in Jeremiah, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, wherefore with loving kindness have I grown you. Well, you know, that tells me that I was always His sheep. Even before I knew it, before He called me, when I was a teenager and a rebel, out there committing sin, doing this, and didn't want nothing to do with Him, He was watching over me and He was protecting me. I've had a few accidents in my life where I should have been killed, but I wasn't. And it was by the providence of God that I wasn't, because I was one of His sheep. I really believe that from my heart. I just hadn't been called yet. And that's something that we need to remember, you know, when we're out in the world and when we're with certain family members and stuff, you know, it may be somebody that really gives us a hard time and maybe we don't like to be around, but we don't really know. That may be one of God's sheep. He just ain't called Him yet. But I thank Him. I thank Him for that. But Paul has, he has such saving faith. He has such strong anticipated hope. At the top of the pages, like I said, it set the ground in the assurance of the Christian's hope. It says here, at hope, it's an anticipated hope. It's not a hope like we talk about, well, I hope it don't rain tomorrow. No, it's an anticipated hope. We know it's going to happen. It's certain. It's sure. And that is in our Lord Jesus Christ. And our pastor wrote this right here, and I hope you don't mind me using it, because it's been a blessing to me, and I read it all the time. But he says, we have a good hope if my hope rests entirely on Jesus Christ living in me and for me. Colossians 1:27 says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, that's us, which is Christ in you and the hope of glory. I thank God for that. And then, you know, Peter said, examine yourself to make your election and calling sure, you know. He says, my hope is a good hope if it is based on the word of God alone. Don't need commentaries. I mean, they're good, but right here's what we need, is the word of God. Romans 15:4 says, for whatsoever things were written beforehand were written for our learning, that through patience and comfort of the scriptures, that we might have hope. And then my hope is a good hope, which gives me joy, peace, and rest, and trusting and leaning on who? Christ Jesus, 24/7. Whatever comes into my life, whatever comes into whatever happens, know that I'm in good hands. I'm in the Lord's hands. He's got, I like to say, he's got his arms wrapped around me. He's my good shepherd. He's my great shepherd. And I thank him for that. Romans 15:13 says, now the God of hope fill you with joy and peace and hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And then my hope is a good hope which rests in faith and confidence regardless of what our circumstances are in this world. We have no idea, you know, as I was telling someone a while ago, you know, we are very fragile creatures, and we're so apt to wonder. We don't know where we're going to be a day from now. We don't know what we're going to be, we don't know what we're going to face tomorrow, you know. And but our confidence and our hope is in Jesus Christ. I know he says here in Romans 4:18, who against, talking about Abraham, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations. Abraham was almost 100 years old, and Isaac hadn't even been born yet. But he knew he was going to be because he had faith in God. My hope is a good hope which continues in faith, and it perseveres until the end. You know, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing firm of that hope unto the end. And we must realize something. We are kept by the power of God. You know, so something that I heard so much in religion was that, yes, we are saved by the blood of Christ. You accept Christ as your Savior. And they didn't say Christ, they said Jesus. You accept Jesus as your Savior, and that's all you need to do. You'll be all right then. But that's not the way it is. We don't accept Him. He accepts us. We don't accept Him. He accepts us. And I thank Him for that. We are kept by the power of God. And I love this verse here. It says, who have saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Him, in Christ Jesus, before the world began. I thank God for that. God's Word says in 1 Corinthians that those that are in Christ are bought with a price. What was that price? You know, we don't belong to ourselves. The Bible plainly says, what know ye not that you are not your own? You were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are Christ. We belong to Him. Why is that? We belong to Him because it says in 1 Peter 18:19, listen to this. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. And Paul believed, we've all heard these sayings right here, but when you think about them, every one of them is a gift from God. Paul believed with all his heart in Christ alone. Nothing else. Christ alone. Faith alone. That's a gift from God. Christ is a gift from God. Scripture alone. That's a gift from God. And to God be the glory alone. That's a gift from God. Faith, grace, Scripture, and God deserves all the glory because man plays no part in it. I love what he says in Jude 24:25, speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's with us each and every moment of the day. He says, now unto him that is able to keep you from what? Falling. There's no way I can keep myself from falling. Whenever I was in religion, I think I was doing pretty good. I tried to live a good life, you know, and we all have pet sins, you know, and I'd have control over something one day, and I think, boy, I really done good. I was tempted, and it didn't hurt me a bit. But the next day, I'd fall flat on my face. But it's not about us. It says unto you that is able to keep you from falling, speaking of Jesus Christ, and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power both now and forever. Amen. God has given Paul strong saving faith in the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the stronger our faith is and the stronger our assurance is, what makes that strong is our walk with our Lord. The closer we walk with Him, the more time we spend with Him. I remember what David said in the Psalms. He said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, if you will, look at our text here at verse 28 in Romans. It says, and we know that all things work together for good. And the reason I brought these points out is I needed to be reminded of who we worship and who God is. He's sovereign. He's sovereign in all things. And He doesn't need no help at all from man. He says, I will share my glory with no one. Right here in verse 28 and 30, let's read it. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. In verse 29, it says, from whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. And moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. He says here, and we know. Now that's what I titled this lesson. And we know. We know that God is sovereign. Our Lord Jesus Christ is sovereign over all things. We know that. We know that we were saved by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We know that with certainty. There's no doubt about it at all. It's not a matter of opinion. It's a matter of absolute certainty. We know that we are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. We know that Christ has come and given us eternal life. Life is in Christ. Outside of Christ, there is no life. The Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And we know that we have passed from death into life. We know that Christ is our shepherd. We know that God is our refuge, and He is a very present help in time of trouble. And we know that all things, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Why do we know that? Because God said it. He said it right here in His book. That's why we know that. This is a source and a foundation of our knowledge, is the Holy Scriptures. The Word of God, you know, we talk to God through prayer, but God talks to His people through His Word and through the preaching of His Word. And whatever God has said, we believe it. Whatever confidence that we have, it's because God has said it. God's people can believe and say with confidence that we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Why? Because He said it. Verse goes on to say, we know that all things. What does all things involve? Well, actually, they involve everything. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, they all work together for good. All things, not only that are uncreated, but created. Good angels, good ministers, all good rulers, all good leaders work together for our good because they're at the disposal of God, because He is able and He controls all things. But it also, it does not say all good things, but it says all things. So it's also talking about all bad things, both created and uncreated. It's talking about the good and the bad, both in the physical world and the spiritual world. And by God's sovereign power, God uses the good and the bad, and he works them for our good. What good is he talking about? Well, you have temporal good. And that's the life that we live here, you know. So you can't really say it's temporal good, because Job said, man that is born of a woman, his days are few and full of trouble. We have good days, but we have bad days. And then you have spiritual good. You know, there are times that we feel like, or I feel like that I'm on top of the world. I feel like I am so close to God that he's sitting right next to me. You know, I can get down and pray sometimes, and it just seems like it's just going right on through the ceiling and going into heaven. But there's other times I can get down, it don't seem like it gets any further than the roof, you know. There's times I get so tied up in this world that I don't take time like I should to read the scriptures. I don't take time to pray like I should. It is our spiritual good some of the time, but what we hear is what is meant is our eternal good. And that's a good that is sure and certain and cannot be defeated. Our goal is to what? To be like Christ and to be with Christ. God's people have a sincere desire to grow in grace and to know and know about him. You know, he said, I think it was in Matthew, he said, learn of me and you shall find rest for your souls. And one of the scriptures that I love to look at, if you'll take a minute and hold your place here and look at John 3. 1 John 3. First John chapter 3. Behold, what manner of love a Father hath showed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Wherefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. But listen to this. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I thank God for that. You know, this is not a blanket promise to all men, but only to those that were placed in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. These are for particular people. These are for those people that Christ hung on the cross for and died. And it says, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. You will go back to Romans 8. It says in the last part of verse 28, to them who are the call according to his purpose. Our calling is not a result of something that God sees in us, as some people think. Our calling is not anything that God hopes to get from us. But our calling is the result of his eternal purpose, known only to himself, his eternal wisdom, which he purposed in himself before the foundation of the world. And if you will, look at verse 29. It says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. You know, God foreknew us in eternity's past. That was not mere intellectual knowledge. You know, as far as knowledge is concerned, God knows everyone. But who he's talking about right here is he's talking about who he knows. He's talking about his eternal love and grace for those that are in Christ. 1 Peter 1:1 says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God. It means, what does that mean, foreknowledge? Foreordained or foreappointed. One verse that I left to look at is first look at Acts 13, if you would. Acts 13. Verse 48. The Lord has sent Paul and Barnabas to preach the gospel to the Jews, and the Jews rejected the message and didn't want nothing to do with it. So he sent them to the Gentiles. And look at verse 48. If this don't show you, speak of the sovereignty of God, nothing does. He says, and when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. Listen to this now. and as many as were ordained, as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. We love God only because He first loved us. And then John 10. We are the most blessed people on the face of the earth. We are going to live for eternity. And I can imagine what it's going to be like to be in the presence of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. But in John 10, beginning in verse 14, and this is Christ speaking, He says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep. You know what He's saying there? He's saying, I'm a good shepherd and I love my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And every sheep I have which are not of His fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. And in God's eternal love and grace, we are His sheep. In Romans 29 again, in our text, it says, For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. You know, there's nothing in a man worthy of God's love or God's affection. God's love, that God loves that man in Christ. He chose that man in Christ. He called that man in Christ. He accepted us in Christ. Never are we considered or regarded by the Heavenly Father outside of Jesus Christ our Lord. Our God is a consuming fire. So having loved as He predetermined that everyone that He loves, that He saves, will be just like Christ. And when we grow out this robe of dead flesh, we will have a glorified body like Christ. It says here, as we have fired the image of the earthly body, Adam, we shall also have a glorified body like Christ. Like our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is the firstborn of the Father with regard to all creatures. Christ is the firstborn among many brethren. I don't understand the Trinity, but it's spoken of in so many places. Who, it says here, it says, who is the image of the invisible God? That's Jesus Christ, our Lord. It says, but unto the Son. And it says, this is in Hebrews. This is the Father speaking to the Son. He says unto the Son, He says, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of Thy kingdom. When the Father manifested Himself, it was in Christ. He is the firstborn of the Father. And we were chosen. And we were chosen in Him. God's Word says in Acts 17:28, For in Him we live, we move, and we have our being. God elected a people to be like His Son. His elect, they will be like Him, absolutely free from sin, and will have a glorified body like His. And the only desire that they'll have is to be with Him and to be around Him. Scripture says, in the Holy Scriptures, it says, the word says, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and things in earth, and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, glory of God the Father. And then in verse 30, if you look at it, it says, Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. You know, there's no place for a man in there anywhere, are they? Christ did it all. You know, everyone who was predestined in eternity is called in time. He responds to it. It's an ineffectual call. And those of the Lord Jesus, and they are clothed with the righteousness of Christ because of the obedience and the sacrifice that Christ made to the Father, whom He justified. He also glorified. You know, actually, in the purpose and the view of God, we're already glorified in our head and representative, Jesus Christ, our Lord. I'd like to leave you with this. The Lord said in Isaiah, and this is the Lord speaking. He said, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, and I will also do it.